Grace to you and peace from God the Father, in Jesus Christ the Son, by the working of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Welcome to this service of morning prayer from Ozark Presbyterian Church. Today is Palm Sunday, the day when the church remembers our Lord's entrance into Jerusalem, the Prince of Peace, coming into the City of Peace. The fact that it's Palm Sunday doesn't make this day particularly holy. It's holy already, like every first day of the week, because it's the Lord's Day. But still, it is good for the people of God to remember what God in Christ has done for us and how he has done it. And so in our service today, we'll do that. Remember what Jesus has done and look forward in faith to the fulfillment of it. But what should our attitude be as we come to this service of the word and prayer? One of the church fathers has a helpful answer, I think. He says, "Let us run with Christ as he presses on to his suffering and death. Let us imitate those who went out to meet him, not scattering branches or garments or palms in his path, but spreading ourselves before him with humility of soul and upright purpose. So may we welcome the word as he comes." It is ourselves that we must spread under Christ's feet, not coats or lifeless branches or shoots of trees, things which waste away and delight the eye but for a few hours. For we have clothed ourselves with Christ's grace, with the whole Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, the Apostle Paul tells us. So let us spread ourselves like coats under his feet. Let us not offer palm branches, but the prizes of victory to the one who conquered death. Let us offer ourselves. The sacrifices God desires are a humble spirit, a humble and repentant heart our God will not reject. Let's prepare our hearts for worship in silence. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us worship God. open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. Jesus says, I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna in the highest. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love for us sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility, mercifully grant that we may die to ourselves and to the world and walk in the way of his suffering, and so come to share in his resurrection with all the saints in light. All glory, praise, and honor to you, most holy and undivided Trinity, forever and ever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lord Jesus calls us to confession this morning with these words. They are words of assurance to all who come to him. The Savior says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Because this is true, let us now confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty God, rich in mercy to all who call on you, hear us as we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, humbly confessing our sins and transgressions and imploring your mercy and forgiveness. We have broken your holy laws by our deeds and by our words and by the sinful affections of our hearts. We confess before you our disobedience and ingratitude, our pride and willfulness, and all our failures and shortcomings towards you and towards our neighbor. Have mercy on us, most merciful Father, and of your great goodness grant that we may from now on serve and please you in newness of life through the merit and mediation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, for your tender mercy's sake, do not lay our sins to our charge. Do not bring upon us what we deserve for our faults. Do not let our foolishness destroy us. Rather, deal with us according to your steadfast love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Forgive and absolve all our sins, and give us grace and strength to walk in the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus, our head, in the way of your commandments. And we ask this in his name. Amen.
Great High Priest, who stands. No tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart.
Jesus says, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." To as many as believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are resting and receiving from him as Savior and Lord, I declare in his name, your sins are forgiven. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 72. It's what's called a royal psalm. Indeed, it is the psalm of the perfect king. It's a prayer for and a reminder to the heirs of David. It describes the sort of kingdom the Lord intends for his people, a place well ruled, where the poor and needy are protected, where the blessings of God extend beyond its borders to all the nations of the earth. It looks forward to a worldwide kingdom of peace, happiness, and salvation. Alas, no king of Israel or of Judah ever lived up to the task, for this psalm describes a kingdom that no one but the Lord's anointed, the true and ultimate royal son of David, could accomplish. This is a description of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect king. This is Psalm 72 of Solomon. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon, throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish, and peace abound, till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all the kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May the gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon. And may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, fountain of all our blessedness and happiness, because we shall have our Lord Jesus Christ as our most just judge, it is right that we should always fear and honor him. We believe and know that you have given him all authority in heaven and on earth, and that he is watching carefully to see that the righteous gain in strength and proclaim his gospel and spread his worship to the ends of the earth. Therefore, we ask you, Heavenly Father, that we may be redeemed from our sins. Having been reborn in him by his Spirit, grant that we may abound in good works, so that we may not be condemned for evil doing. Give us a strong and steadfast faith, and we shall count ourselves truly blessed and lastingly happy. And we shall exalt your name and proclaim your praises, so that, if it is possible, the whole earth may be filled with the knowledge of you. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is the third servant song in the prophecy of Isaiah, but it contains no direct reference to the servant, for he himself is the one speaking. In this passage, we are given a remarkable insight into the life of the sovereign Lord's faithful servant, his communion with God, his physical and mental suffering that results from this faithful commitment, and his certainty that in the end he will be vindicated. Earlier in the chapter, we've been told that there is no one, no man, who listens or responds to the Lord. But now, in our passage this morning, we learn that there is indeed someone who does listen and respond. The servant, the one whom we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ, this servant listens, and in his listening, he learns what the will of God is. He does not rebel against God. He is obedient to God, even at great cost to himself, and he rests in confident faith in the Lord. This is Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 11. This is the word of God. The sovereign Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the sovereign Lord helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the sovereign Lord helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a song of the Lord's anointed, a song of the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. In your majesty ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The epistle lesson this morning is a reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The Apostle Paul writes, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Assist us mercifully with your help, O Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy upon the contemplation of those mighty acts whereby you have given us life and immortality, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever. Amen. The gospel lesson this morning is a reading from John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. This is the word of God. The next day, a large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." A crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed in what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, who has shared our lot, endured our hardships, and obeyed the law for your people in doing the will of the Father, give your servants such power of endurance, of self-control and self-denial, that our flesh being subdued by the Spirit, we may obey your holy example of faith and hope and love. Amen. We believe that Christ communicates to his people the benefits of his redemption through outward and ordinary means. He's given us these means, the Word of God, the sacraments, prayer. He's given us these things in order to build us up in the faith and in the life that is ours in Jesus Christ. There's an ancient tradition of the church that says the way of prayer is the way of faith. What does that mean? It means that prayer is the chief act of faith, and that prayer and faith, though they are not the same things, are so closely intertwined that they might as well be. It's true that without faith there is no prayer. It's also true that without prayer we cannot say we have faith. I believe and know also that the prayers of the church, those ancient prayers that are framed according to the scriptures, give us a marvelous spirit-driven instruction in the faith. And just as our prayers instruct our faith, they instruct our way of living also. Now this understanding, this value of ancient printed prayers has been pushed aside, I think, in traditions that hold written prayers in low esteem by those who think that the only good and valid prayers are those that are made up in the moment. Now, without a doubt, there is a place for extemporaneous prayer, but a prayer life that consists entirely of those kind of prayers, a prayer life that ignores the work of the Spirit and the prayers of the church, can remain remarkably stunted. We can learn to spend so much time on the petitions of the moment. Our prayer life so easily becomes introspective. It becomes all about me and my worries and my fears. What C.S. Lewis said about old books can be applied to our prayers, I think. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but every person who prays has their own outlook. The one praying may be especially good at seeing certain truths, but they're also liable to certain mistakes. We all, therefore, need the prayers that will correct our characteristic mistakes, the ones that are set in our own culture, our own way of living. And that means old prayers, the prayers of the church. The only corrective is to keep the clean sea breezes of the centuries blowing through our minds. And this can be done only by studying and praying old prayers. The prayers of the church can teach us to hold on tight to God in all sorts of circumstances, to thank God in all sorts of circumstances, to rejoice in God in all sorts of circumstances. In the old prayers of the church, we see an amazing spirit-led wisdom, an amazing understanding of who God is and of who we are in Him. And these prayers can free us from ourselves, from our short-sighted, socially driven view of things. They can teach us to know that the goodness of God is the highest prayer of all, as Julian of Norwich says. What do I mean? I mean that when we pray well and in faith, we are resting in the goodness of God, in the truth that God is always for us and never against us because we are His in Christ. I mean also that when we pray like this, we're offering ourselves to God, believing that His answers to our prayers are the best answers that could possibly be given. This sort of prayer can be hard. It's certainly not in the spirit of our age. Consider the prayers that we've already prayed this morning. We've petitioned God mercifully to grant that we may die to ourselves and to the world and walk in the way of Christ's suffering. We've prayed that He would give us grace and strength to walk in the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus. We've acknowledged that true blessing and everlasting happiness is found in what? In a strong and steadfast faith. We've asked for power of endurance, of self-control and self-denial, so that our flesh being subdued by the Spirit, we may obey the holy example of Christ's faith and hope and love. Soon enough we'll admit to our Father in heaven that we don't really know how to pray or to ask for what we really need. And then we'll thank Him for what is ours in Christ, the freedom, the strength, and the example of Christ to turn our backs on the lures of evil so that we may store up treasures in heaven and that we may know, really know, not just in our heads, but in our hearts and by the living example of our thoughts and words and deeds. That we may know that whatever our outward circumstances look like, we already possess everything because we possess Christ. Did you hear those things? When we prayed them, did you agree with them in your soul? Did you offer yourself up through them as a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God? All of those prayers, I'm convinced, in one way or another, are based in, they flow out of what you heard Jesus say this morning. What did He say? Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, when He said that, He was talking about Himself, of course. He's talking about Himself. He is the grain of wheat that died, and in doing so, produced so much fruit. If that were not so, we wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't be saying these words. But He's not just talking about Himself. He's talking about us also. Our call is to follow Him. If anyone serves me, Jesus says, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. It's easy to misread this. It's easy to misunderstand it. Jesus isn't giving us a promise of His perpetual presence with us. He isn't saying, where my servant is, I will be there also. Jesus is saying, my servants will follow me. Even to the death. Maybe there will be death by martyrdom. That's happened in the history of the church. It's happening right now. But without a doubt, for every follower of Jesus, there must be a death to oneself, a death to the world. The one who is addicted to their own desires, to their own pleasures, to their own power or wealth or family or possessions or even their fears and anxieties or their safety. Whoever puts their own interests ahead of the interests of Christ and His kingdom, and by that I mean His reign as King over us and everything, whoever puts his own interests ahead of that, will come to everlasting ruin, Jesus says. Whoever loves his life in this world loses it. But whoever is willing to give up their own interests, their own loves and desires, when they come into conflict with Christ and His kingdom, that one has an everlasting reward of glory that beggars the imagination, Jesus says. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. To follow Christ is to imitate Christ, so that what is true for Jesus must be true for those who follow Him, must be true for you and me. To follow Jesus means to share in his sufferings, but it also means to share in his glory. This light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4. One of our Puritan fathers encourages us this way: our cross now may be heavy, but one sight of Christ will make us forget all our former sorrows. And so we pray, not according to our own worldly interests, according to our small understanding, our limited view of things, we pray according to the Word of God. Yes, of course we can cast our fears and anxieties on our Father in heaven. He cares for us. Of course we can ask for peace. Without a doubt, that's according to the Word of God. But understand this, the peace of God may not look like the cessation of hostility in our life. It certainly didn't for Jesus. Yes, of course we can pray for healing from disease for ourselves and for others. That too is according to the Word of God. But understand this, that the healing may not be the way we expect it to be. It may take place in heaven, not here. We can pray for, we ought to pray for, we must pray for all sorts of things necessary for our bodies and souls, as the Heidelberg Catechism says. But how do we understand what is necessary for our bodies and souls, apart from the Word of God interpreted in the ancient prayers of the Church? And so we pray for things like those I listed above. I urge you, look at the prayers in our liturgy today. Consider what you and I are asking God for, what we're asking God to do. Consider what the Church, under the power of the Spirit of Christ, is teaching us about our faith, teaching us about our life. What Jesus says about himself, he's saying about you and me and every one of his followers: unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Approach my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there. Thy promise is my only plea, with this I venture nigh. Thou
now, believing the Word of God and trusting his good will towards us, let us approach the mercy seat. Heavenly Father, we give you everlasting thanks and praise that we, your burdened children, can approach your mercy seat in the most holy place, your throne of grace. And we come through Jesus Christ, our great high priest and advocate, who even now is interceding for us. In his name alone, we lift up our hearts to you and bless you and give you thanks for your infinite power, your unsearchable wisdom, your everlasting glory, your faithfulness throughout all generations, your steadfast love, which endures forever, your tender mercies, which are new every morning. Especially this morning, we praise you and thank you for the unimaginable gift of Jesus Christ, your Son, who for our sakes came down from highest heaven and took to himself our flesh to bear our sins and sorrows. O Lord Jesus Christ, on this day when we remember your entrance into the rebellious Jerusalem, we bless you and thank you that you set your face like a flint, willingly to fulfill all that the Father had given you to do. Blessed are you, O Lord of life and glory, that you have condescended to come, meek and lowly, to your throne in our hearts. Almighty God, you have committed unto your people the ministry of intercession. Hear us as we pray for all sorts of people, and grant that our hearts may be filled with all peace and love. Save us from being self-centered in our prayers. Grant that we may be so bound up in love for those for whom we pray that we may feel their needs as acutely as our own, and intercede for them with sensitivity, with understanding, and with imagination. And we ask this in Christ's name. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. Father, we pray for those who do not know you, but stumble through this life in the miserable captivity of sin. In your grace and tender mercy, bring the lost to the pure understanding of your heavenly truth, that we all, with one consent and unity of mind and heart, may know and worship you, the only true God, and the Savior, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent to give his life as a ransom for many. Grant that all your ministers, your whole church, may both in their life and doctrine be found faithful. Grant that we all may be faithful ambassadors of reconciliation through the proclamation of the gospel, so that your poor sheep who wander and stray may be gathered and brought home to your fold. Lord, we know that the reins of government are in your hands, even as the hearts of all the leaders on earth are water in your hands. We beseech you to direct and bless all who are in lawful authority, especially your servants Donald, our president, and Kay, our governor, and all others whom you have called to public service, together with the whole body of the state and nation. Give our leaders and those who advise them the wisdom needed in this strange and difficult time. Let your fatherly favor preserve them, and your Holy Spirit govern their hearts. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Father, your truth endures from age to age. Direct in these times, we pray, those who speak where many listen and write what many read, that they may speak your truth to make the heart of this people wise, its mind discerning, and its will righteous, and do this to the honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Remember your church, O Lord. Cleanse and sanctify this temple of the Holy Spirit, that she may truly be a house of prayer for all nations, until at last all the kingdoms of the earth, which are so many and so divided against one another, may become one under the headship of the royal Son of David, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, restore the souls of your people everywhere in Jesus Christ, so that we may be merciful and kind, even as you are merciful and kind. Let your forgiveness of our many sins and failures make us willing to forgive all the wrongs that we suffer and to ask forgiveness for every wrong that we have done. Renew within us, each and all, the heart of him who became flesh and dwelt among us in such humility and was meek and lowly of heart. Let the same mind be in us, which also was in him. Let our love and goodwill to others be as abundant as our joy. that our hearts may be tender to the needs of others and our hands freely give for his sake. And grant that, being rooted and grounded in the mystery of the Word made flesh, we may receive power to overcome the world, even as we wait in patient hope for the renewal of all things, through Jesus Christ our Lord. God of all comfort, we commend to your mercy all those who are suffering under any cross or tribulation. Have mercy on the nations that are afflicted with famine or war, and especially this present pestilence. Remember your children, our brothers and sisters, who are suffering persecution for the sake of Christ. Protect those who are in danger by sea or air or land, and comfort those who are oppressed with poverty or any infirmity of body. Comfort those who mourn, O Lord. We pray especially for those who are sick, whatever the cause. Show them your fatherly kindness, chasten them for their good, and turn their hearts to you, that they may receive your perfect consolation and deliverance from all their troubles through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, you are a very present help in time of trouble. Do not let the heart of your people fail when fear strikes, but rather sustain and comfort them until these present troubles are past. And since you alone know the cause and reason why this present pestilence has fallen upon the world, we pray that you will bless the means that are used to stay the spread of sickness, heal the hurt and wounded, console the bereaved and afflicted, protect the innocent and helpless, and deliver any who are still in peril for your great mercy's sake. And to all who are beyond healing in this present life, grant your heavenly consolation and your saving grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. And hear us now, Father, as in the name of Christ we offer our own thanksgivings and intercessions for those who are sick, or grieving, or persecuted, or in bondage, fear, or loneliness. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and binding all our prayers into one, hear us as together in faith we pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And now, together, let us confess our one holy Catholic faith. Christian, what do you believe? For what would you be willing to die? I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Father, you have said, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances. But apart from the help of your Spirit, we do not know how to pray as we ought, or even ask what is fitting for us. So teach us to pray, and to bear all things thankfully, to offer up thanksgivings for all sorts of things, whether they be poverty or disease or any affliction. Only you, most merciful Father, truly know what is good for us. Blessed are you, Almighty God, for in your kindness and mercy, patience and faithfulness, you are always ready to forgive and not punish, to welcome home and not send away. We thank you for your Son, our Savior, and elder brother, Jesus Christ, by whose strength and example we turn our backs on the lures of evil, seeking instead to store up treasure in heaven, knowing that though we may seem to have nothing, in reality we possess everything in you. For these and all your mercies, we praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Blessed be God forever. People of God, the Lord Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. The peace that comes from human beings, from the world, is changeable and easily destroyed. But Christ's peace is strong, unshakable, firm, fixed, steadfast, immune to death, and unending. Now may the God of peace grant you perfect peace and living hope and glorious grace and steadfast love and faith until the day breaks and all these shadows flee away. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.